You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Stranger Things, the greatest show alive. All we can do is wait for season 5. I thought in the meantime that it might be fun to read every comic and book in what I call the Stranger Danger Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club. Book Club. Stranger Danger Book Club.
Anybody know this song? If you do, let's sing.
Run them over, run them out, knock your blocks and tear your town. Move on corners, move around, talk no talk, breaking you down. We are a corporation, we are a company. We cut hard, but we're cutting hard anyway. We are your mother, father, we are your final friend. It never started and it won't end. I love, hey, hey, New York City. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Greetings, stranger friends. It's been too long. It's been too long. Welcome back to the Stranger Danger Book Club, where today we're going wacky. We're going crazy. We're going to New York City, and we're going to spend time with some special friends known as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Heroes in a Half Shell, Turtle Power. Folks, I am a child of the 80s, much like our famed friends from Hawkins. And unfortunately for them, though, they never grew up enjoying the excitement of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Fortunately for them, in their world, the Ninja Turtles are real. So this, my friends, is where we take a very big leap from the other comics that we've read before, and we just have fun, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go on a leap and say this is not canon. This is not going to ever find its way into the Stranger Things lore. We're never going to say, hey, remember that time we were with the Giant Turtles and the Big Mouse Man? Remember that? But you know what? It doesn't matter. That's what comic books are for. Yes, they're for the ability to expand your story. Yes, they're for the ability to focus on different characters and explore the in-betweens, the nooks and crannies of, you know, the television show that we all love. But they're also just there to go bonkers, have a little fun. And, you know, like comic books for years have done what if this, what if that? And my friends, this is as what if as a what if as ever. I don't even know if that makes sense. I'm sure it doesn't. In fact, I'm telling you that didn't make sense, but you still got it. So maybe it did make sense, even though it technically didn't. This is crazy. I'm feeling crazy. The fact that Hawkins, Indiana, and the Ninja Turtles are coming together. As I said, friends, a child of the 80s, so I, and the 90s, not so much the 70s, but, you know, I was there. But I grew up with the Ninja Turtles in my life. Like, I was around before the Ninja Turtles even became a thing. So that's showing my my never-ending aging. But that's okay. That's okay. Because I still have the taste of my youth. I think a lot of people my age still love the retro look back at the 80s. And I think that's why Stranger Things hit so hard, as it, you know, hit so good with, you know, very cool and hip folks of my age. But yet it was also a great story with kids, and that's why it affected, you know, the kids that age, those kids today. Doesn't matter that it was in the 80s. The fact that it was in the 80s was just an extra little mwah to, you know, a little nice thank you, or a little nice little gesture for Gen X. But Stranger Things didn't have to be in the 80s, but it was. And so were the Ninja Turtles, both in the real world, quote unquote, of Stranger Things, and in the real world of us, you and I. So I grew up before they were even a cartoon. They were a comic book. Now, if you are not familiar with this comic book, it says on the cover, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Stranger Things. But everywhere it's written, it says Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles X Stranger Things. Now, I've seen this X in music. I've seen it now in a new Godzilla and King Kong movie. And I looked up, how do you pronounce it? What do you say? It's not versus. It's what I've read as crossed. And I've also read it, you don't even say it. You just say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Stranger Things. I like to say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles meet Stranger Things, because it makes me feel of the old Scooby-Doo days when Scooby-Doo met Laurel and Hardy and the Harlem Globetrotters. And yes, I'm showing I'm even older than I appear. But the important thing is we're combining the world that, you know, is kind of being represented in the 80s, and a world that actually started in the 80s. The Ninja Turtles were started by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. It was Eastman and Laird. I don't remember that their first names, but I remember finding, now I think even when I bought it, the first issue, which it was a reprint, because if I was a real first Ninja Turtles, you know, Teenage Ninja Turtles issue, I would be, you know, I'd be flying on a Learjet right now. It was, I think it was a reprint even when I got it. But it was, you know, in the early 80s, kind of made as a spoof, almost spoofing the, what's the guy with the blind lawyer on Disney, Daredevil. It's kind of in a weird thing, a spoof on the Daredevil comic book. If I remember correctly, I believe that, you know, in Daredevil, that Matt Murdock, he almost gets hit by a car. And he ends up going blind from, was it a car accident with chemicals? And in this, they're saying there was a car accident with chemicals, and the chemicals went into the sewers, and they affected four tiny turtles and a little rat. And then the Daredevil had the Hand. That was the name of the Hand Clan. And of course, the Ninja Turtles had the Foot Clan. So it does kind of connect. But it really is. It became its own thing and became its own phenomenon. And I saw the first two. So I had the comic book. It was in black and white. But on the cover, you'd see that they all wore the same red masks. That was something that is carried forward in this this version of the Ninja Turtles in this comic. This, it looks like Ninja Turtles was republished by IDW a couple of years ago. And when it was republished, they brought back the red masks that were, you know, just on covers, because the comic itself was in black and white. So I'm thinking the colored masks that we know, what is it, blue, purple, red, and orange? I believe those were just created for the toys and the cartoons. And well, so were the eyeballs, because there's no eyeballs in these original. So I'd like to think that what we're looking at are the Ninja Turtles of the comics, not so much the cartoon or the movie, but I loved all of those. That's where the theme song came from. That's where, you know, the cowabunga dude and the pizza eating and the surfer attitude that some of them had, that they were like basically, well, we know they were teenagers, but they kind of acted more like, hey, dude, like teenagers of the 80s. You know, during the time of the cartoon, I had some of the toys. I, even though I was probably, by the time the cartoon was on, I felt like I was almost too old. But at the same time, I remember there was a kid in high school that was a couple years older than me that he loved the Ninja Turtles. I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool to like them, right? I can still like them. So I would watch the cartoon. I went to see at least the first two movies in the theater with my brother. I don't think I've ever seen Turtles in Time. And I did see the two movies that came out, you know, with like 10 years ago or something, whatever it was. I never saw the TMNT animated movie or the one that came out last year. It was another TMNT that was supposed to be great. So I haven't seen any of those yet, but I do plan on seeing those because I want to. That's really all it comes down to. But the idea that then this world of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would now invade Stranger Things makes me excited to see what other little crossovers we can see from Stranger Things in the future, because why not? It's just storytelling. And second of all, I'm just excited because of my fandom for both of these worlds. So why don't we now sit back and go through issue one of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Stranger Things.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
So we see, I'm going to start off with the cover, which is a cool shot of all of our friends. We see Max, Mike, Eleven, Will, Dustin, and Lucas. And they're on a street. It looks like in New York City. It looks like a big city, at least. And then on the flip side of this, it's like that's half the cover. We see our four Ninja Turtles, Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo. They're all upside down, and they look like they're coming through a sewer. But it's upside down. Get it? The upside down. And this is a cross publication between Dark Horse Comics and IDW. This is issue number one. And just to give credit where credit is due, this was written by Cameron Chidock, art by Pharaoh Pei. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Colors by Sophie Dodson and letters by Russ Wooten or Wooton, like a futon. And yeah, we see, you know, credits for Dark Horse Comics, Netflix, IDW, and Nickelodeon. This was published last summer. I don't think I knew about it until almost Christmas time. But and then I took another 4 months to finally get it to you guys. But here we are, and we're starting in New York City, 1985. So we're right in the thick of Stranger Things. I'm going to say I believe this takes place between 3 and 4. It can't take place during 4. And it looks like Eleven still has the hair that she would go to the mall with. And of course, Max is conscious and part of the story. So let's be, you know, obviously this took place before 4, before Stranger Things 4. So it says New York City, 1985. We see some people on a subway just randomly. You know, there, and they freak out. One of them freaks out because he sees a rat. And they're like, oh my God, rats, disgusting. And another guy says, get used to it. The whole city is going to hell. And what no one else sees, but we see is below him on the subway, in the subway, we see a tiny little red glow of a tiny little gate to the upside down. So, okay, this is scary and exciting. And now we turn to the second page. It says chapter one, The Tourist. So I'm assuming these four issues are each a chapter in one long story. We're in New York City. It says, welcome to New York City, brave travelers. Please keep close and use the buddy system at all times. We're certainly not in Hawkins anymore. And we see amongst all this crowd, we see Lucas, Dustin, Max, Mike and Will. And Dustin's like, good. After everything that town has put us through, I'm not thinking about Hawkins for a single second. And we see off, you know, someone saying off in the distance, and keep your eyes peeled, kids in the big city, there's something to see no matter where you look. And Dustin's looking in a sewer. He's like, awesome. Max says, it's a sewer, you dork. And no. Well, of course we know how awesome sewers are for another part of this story. But Dustin says, do you know how complex a water system for over 15 million people has to be? It's a feat of engineering genius. And Max is like, that's what genius smells like to you, Dustin? Mr. Clark said, no matter where you look, and I'm looking. So, okay, now we know that voice belongs to Mr. Clark, who must be chaperoning them on their trip to New York City. But Lucas says, you know, I think he meant more like that. And he looks off, and boom, we see a nice drawing off in the distance of the Empire State Building. He's like, oh, Dustin says, oh, yeah, that's pretty good too. He admits it. But Mike's not really paying attention. By the way, I really like the art in this so far. The drawing, it's like very thick pencils, and I love that effect of the dots for shadows. I don't know what it's called. I'm sure there's a style. I don't know what it is. But Will says, Mike, the Empire State Building's the other way. Mike says, sorry, Will. I'm just, L should have been here by now. She said she could find her own way, but that's crazy. Why did I think she could do that? You know, now that I think about it, so Elle's not with him. He's got to find her. She's got to find her own way. But now that I think about it, this can't be between 3 and 4 because they're still in Hawkins and Will moved away with his family. So he wouldn't be there. And 11 went with them. So this has to be during season 3 or before the craziness happens in season 3. They went on a field trip. Let's just say they went on a field trip. I know I'm overthinking it, but that's what I'm here for. So Dustin says, maybe we can grab a slice while we wait. It says original Rupert's Pizza, established 1953. Now I'm going to type in Rupert's Pizza into Google. And it says Rupert's Pizza. The first result that comes up is for the Ninja Turtlepedia. It says original Rupert's Pizza is a local restaurant that the kids from Hawkins. Okay, so in IDW continuity, Rupert's Pizzeria is a local restaurant that employs someone. I'm not going to say the name in case that comes up later. So it looks like it is part of the Ninja Turtle world. So that's a little Easter egg for the hardcore TMNT readers. And Dustin really wants to get a slice. And Max is like, it's like 8 in the morning. Lucas says, it's never too early for a New York slice, Max. She says, yes, it is, Lucas, if we have to catch a train. So apparently they all need to catch a train somewhere. But Lucas, you know, the man who loves New Coke, obviously he would love a pizza early in the morning. So all of a sudden, Elle, you made it. She said, I made it. All of a sudden, we see 11 coming. Now she's got the longer hair. She's got the ponytail or the tail coming up the top of her head. So this is definitely season 3 look. And she goes up. They hug each other. He said, you had me worried. You know, you said you'd make it, but how'd you make it? Bus. He goes, a different bus, like a Greyhound or something? You know how to do that? Yes. Done it before. Really? When did you ride a bus by yourself? Nice little Easter egg for us for when she went off to, was it Chicago? She's a little runaway. So remember then when she went off and, met her sister and saw that this is a much bigger world than just her. So someone says, guys, I think it's Max or Dustin. He's like, where's the rest of our party? All of a sudden, and by the way, he has the piece of pizza in his hand. So he took the time to go and get a slice of pizza. And now they realize that the rest of their class is not there. They run down to the train, to the subway, and they're like, oh, sorry, excuse us. Oh, crap, we missed it. So they were supposed to go with the rest of their class on a subway. They completely missed it. Mr. Clark is going to kill us, Lucas says. And Mike's like, not if we catch the next one. We'll notice, he'll notice we're missing. He looks like he's out of breath. And we'll get off at the first stop and he'll get off and he'll wait for us. And then Will hears, croak, croak. He's like, guys, did you hear that? Like that sound. No. Dustin says, no, don't even say it. We're in New York. There are no demo anythings, no upside down, just one time, please. And Lucas says, but it does sound like them, like the demo dogs. Dustin says, and we're going to check it out, aren't we? Son of a... Mike says, if they're here and we're here, we have to do something. But we'll need a distraction if we're going to get down there. So 11, you see her use her little powers and boom, the machine goes crazy. Tickets go flying everywhere. Everyone's distracted. And 11 and Max jump down into the tracks. They say, come on. The guys follow them. They all head off down the railroad track. Now, this is kind of unsafe because a train comes and, you know, they're all flattened into pudding. But luckily, no train comes. Instead, you still hear. And they're like, okay, everybody, stick together. Buddy system. Yeah, I'm serious. You know, Max, we don't know what's down here. And Will says, we're about to find out. And the next shot, we see something I never have seen before. It is definitely a demodog of some kind but it also has some sort of exoskeleton. It's got robotic feet, but it still has its front feet. It seems to have some sort of robotic spine on it. I don't quite know what's going on here, but it's definitely not the Demodogs or Demogorgons that you and I are used to. But they're like, oh my God, El, do something. She said, on it. And Dustin says, holy crap, are those? And then the very next panel, we see one of these Demodogs or Demogorgons or whatever they are, these robots, demo robots. One gets hit by a staff. One gets slashed by a sword. One gets hit by a katana. And one gets whacked by a nunchuck. And Mike says, was that you? She says, no. And then we get this full splash page of the four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kicking the crap out of these monsters while the kids are watching from afar. And he stabs, I want to say Donatello has the sword and Leo has the staff. I always get those two mixed up. I know Raffi has the katana. Michelangelo has the nunchaka. So I'm going to say, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to type in TMNT Donatello has the staff. So Leonardo has the sword. Okay. I was wrong. Or I was right. I already forget. So they're stabbing the Demogorgon right there. And they're like, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. I jumped a panel. And Dustin was just like, they're just all staring at them like, what the heck? And Raphael says, there are a bunch of kids, Leo, with mousers at their heels. Of course they're scared. Mousers. So they're calling these things mousers. And Leo says, I meant of us. Oh, yeah. You're not so friendly looking, Raph. Maybe because I'm not expecting a big thank you after you save someone, Mike. So they're arguing with each other. And Leo's like, I don't expect anything in return. I just want them to know we're here to help. Guys, these aren't mousers. So one of them realizes, you know, not exactly the ones we're familiar with, at least. So whatever they're calling them mousers, but these aren't exactly what they're used to. And neither are those. And now we see the Demodogs that we all know, that we all remember, no robotic things on them, but they are come rushing at them. And the four Ninja Turtles like, keep close quarters, keep it tight. They're like, bring it. They're ready to fight. And then all of these monsters, they smash up against the wall. They're taken out. And they turn, they see Eleven. She's got her hand up using her powers. And they're like, maybe they weren't scared. Then the next thing we know, we jump over to the turtles' lair. They said, so if we're following you correctly, psychic powers, creatures from another dimension, and you're from Indiana. I like that's one of the things that's shocking them. And Dustin says, said with skepticism from the talking turtles who live in a sewer, but seem most at home slicing up killer robots. Lucas is like, I kind of like it down here. It's like a better version of Mike's basement. Lucas, this is a sewer. What's wrong with you guys? Said Mike. And now they're talking to each other. I just don't know which one's which when they don't have their weapons. But one of the turtles says, we live here because we have to. And I felt better about that before we were, you know, sharing the underground with these monsters of yours. And Mike says, our monsters? What about your crazy mice, Leonardo? Our field trip was going great before they showed up. So they're just all hanging out in the lair. And even Max is like, wait, it was? And then we see someone else walk, and we just see a furry leg, the silhouette, and perhaps what we should focus on is that which we share in common. And there he is, Master Splinter, the rat himself in his, you know, red robe. And the kids are like, what? And Max says, okay, the fact that I'm not losing my mind right now means I've been hanging out with you guys for far too long. And Will says, even by our standards, this is weird. And they said, this is our father, Master Splinter. Okay, now it's even weirder. But you're all in luck because we like weird. It's kind of our thing, Dustin says. Not if it was ours first. They're like arguing who's weirder. And then one of them says, Father's right. What we actually have in common is those demo whatevers running around in the subway. They're demogorgons, Raphael, said Mike. Dustin says, you guys have never played D&D, Donatello? Not for lack of trying. And those demogorgons, they're from this upside down? Will says, it's Michelangelo, right? The demogorgons come from the upside down, but they can cross over. And Mike's like, freaky. Michelangelo is like, freaky. And I'm doing the voice, even though I'm sure he's not supposed to be that way. But Mike says, our Mike, Wheeler, says, they're hunters, predators. The one we saw on the subway, the demodogs, they're still growing. They get much bigger. And Lucas says, and deadlier. But why are they here? Did they follow us? Mike's wondering. Across state lines? Lucas is like, across state lines? And Dustin says, why not? You think they care about human jurisdiction? He's like, no, but it's not exactly a short distance. Either way, we're here, Elle's here, and the Demogorgons are here. That's not a coincidence. And Eleven's like, our fault. Dustin is freaking out. He's like, see, this is why I didn't want to even think about Hawkins. Now we've jeopardized the greatest city in the world. And someone says, they didn't follow us. It's Will. And he's kind of like, he's got his eyes closed, his head's bowed. He goes, they didn't have to. The upside down doesn't switch on and off. Under us or on the other side, whoever you want to think about it, doesn't matter how far we go. It's there right now. We see this nice shot of like a typical New York City drawing with cars and, you know, in the middle of the street, taxi, people walking. Birds and buildings, and then flip side, we see an upside down version of that, all in red. The buildings are all in black. The trees are all dead. I love it. It's a real cool shot because the upside down is everywhere. And Will's like feeling the back of his neck. He goes, there's no escaping, but it'll always be there. And he's just like sitting on a couch, very, very sad, very nervous, very scared. The kids come over, and Mike says, yeah. And we'll always be there too. We'll always be there too, Will. We've been there before, and we're here again. And then they all look as someone says, and you have help this time, if you're up for it. And it's the Ninja Turtles and Master Splinter. They're like, Lucas says, you're ninjas. Why wouldn't we want your help? We give a lot to the greatest city in the world that doesn't always come back around. But Michelangelo says, yet I still have hope. New York City or your little hometown, it doesn't matter. People are people everywhere. And some people, they suck. Raph has a point when it comes to at least one person. Baxter Stockman. He's a homicidal maniac, Don. And unfortunately, he's the one lead we have on how all of this might be connected. So it seems like we have a villain. A villain that we're going to be focusing on, I'm guessing, for this entire story, Baxter Stockman. I don't know if Baxter Stockman has anything to do with, the Ninja Turtles. Oh, my goodness. Yes, he does. Baxter Stockman has been around as a mad scientist in Ninja Turtle lore forever. He was like, oh, yeah. I couldn't even tell you the first time he was shown, but... yes, I remember seeing this action figure. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, that's cool. So again, for the hardcore TMNT fans, when they see Baxter Stockman, it's not, or for the people reading the Ninja Turtle comics, it's not like, wait, who the hell is he? But they are explaining to the kids that he's someone who, you know, might be connected to all of this. And looking at these robots from these demodogs and demogorgons, they're like, these new monstrosities certainly draw inspiration from your demogorgons, but the programming is 100% Stockman. So they know that he's somehow manipulating these monsters. They're like, except he's in prison. After we stopped his last scheme, he couldn't have done this. So I wonder if that is a callback to the comic as well. Max says, if he's smart enough to build those things, couldn't he break out? Lucas is like, it's not impossible. The list of bad guys he's escaping prison is long. And there's this determined look on Eleven's face. She says, I can find him. The next shot we see is a big green turtle hand turning the dial of a radio to get static. We know what's happening here. So I don't know if this is Raphael or not, but one of the turtles is holding one of the bandanas, one of the masks, and says, "You can borrow this, but you haven't earned it. We work to hone our bodies and minds into our best weapons. Everything wasn't handed to us, like your powers." So I think he was kind of being a jerk. I think he was saying, you know, look, your powers were given to you. I mean, with the history of what was actually done, I'm not saying, you know, it really wasn't a gift given to her. It was like a burden foisted upon her. Is it foisted or hoisted? I never know. But he hands it to her. He hands her the eye mask. And she, before she puts it on, they're like, so how's this supposed to work exactly? Psychic projection? Mike says, I guess she goes somewhere in her mind. The void, Donatello. Dustin always knows. So she puts the mask over her eyes, blindfolds herself. And someone says, if she knows what they look like out here, she can see them in there. She'll track down this Stockman guy. The turtle says, well, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. Mike says, totally. It comes in handy, but she doesn't always like what she finds. And the next thing we see is Eleven in the void. Now, the one criticism I have of this is that how does she know what this dude looks like? They never showed her a photo. Now, is he supposed to be a world famous person that they all know? They didn't say, hey, I know him. They didn't show him a photo. They didn't show him a newspaper, anything. They could have showed one thing that established that, okay, now she knows who to look for because she just seems to be looking for this guy. I don't know why, but she sees paper falling. She goes over and sees this guy standing at a desk. There seems to be a computer there and he is scribbling. There also seems to be a Demogorgon with the robotic suit on. This dude is scribbling on a piece of paper. He's I don't know how much older he is, African-American fella wearing glasses, a wonderful mustache, and he's scratching something on these papers. She sees he's scratching the word, the number 11, and he's done 11, 11. He's written 11 on multiple pieces of paper. Boom, she snaps out of it. She's like, ha. She got the little nosebleed. And they're like, did it work? He says, I saw him, Stockman, but not in prison. Called it, Max said. And Master Splinter says, an answer that leads to more questions. Not my favorite, one of the turtles said. So Master Splinter says to Eleven, your abilities are new to me, child. But was there anything else you were able to gather? Any insight that might be of use? She said, he knows me, or he knows I'm coming. He wants me to find him, because now we see that there were not just notes that said 11, there was also an address, 12 Levine Street, New York, New York, 10036. I'm going to type into my Google, 12 Levine Street, New York City. Is there a 12 Levine Street? Doesn't seem to be. I was really hoping that it was a pizza place or nope. The first thing that pops up is Levine Bakery with cookies and Avril Levine. So nope, no Easter egg with that. But at least they'd have an address now to go and figure out what where this guy is. So one of the turtles says, if we go after Stockman, what about all those teeth on legs loose on the subway? Commuters have quite the menu. Okay, I see what it's saying here. Commuters make quite the menu. So he's like, if we go and deal with Stockman, what about the monsters that are already out there? They're going to, you know, go and eat a bunch of people, including Will's like, Mr. Clark, you know, he's out there. It's got to be more than just Mr. Clark, right? What about the other kids? Aren't there other kids? It wasn't just the six of them and Mr. Clark, or the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 11, and then Mr. Clark. Was it? I don't know. But Donatello's like, we split up. One team go find Stockman. The other one hunt down the Demogorgons and Mousers. Demomousers. Dustin, he loving things. And even Lucas is like, that's not your best. But one of the turtles says, I'm going after the science freak. And Eleven said, me too. And he's like, I think it's Raphael. He goes, fine, but not with that. He's taking the bandana back. He's very particular about the bandana. He holds it in high regard. And I'm going to guess at some point he's going to say she earned one. I am just going to feel it because he's giving her a hard time about wearing this thing. Oh, it's Raphael. And Wilson, Mike says, no way, Raphael. And he's like, does he always worry about you this much? Eleven says, yes. He goes, okay, who knows what Stockman's come up with this time? I better tag along for technical support. So, okay, Donna, okay, so they are splitting up. They said, you two are the brains, right? I could use some backup. And Max and Dustin are like, which two? Us two? Like, we're the brains? So now we see, it's actually a cool shot of Michelangelo. I want to say, I don't think it's a sword, so I'm going to say Donatello. With Mike, Lucas, and Will. And they said, we'll take the subway and buy time until you find answers. And then we see on the other side, in Master Splinter, we see the back of him looking at both of these panels, looking at both of these people. It's actually really cool, really well done. We see Leo. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Now we see Raphael and Donatello. So Leo is over with the other gang. And they're like, how do we stay in contact? Dustin pulls right out of his backpack, a walkie-talkie. He says, we got you covered there. So before they leave, Master Splinter says, though you head now in different directions, you must remember that you share the burden before you. Oh, he's always so wise. You will not have the comfort of your friends beside you. And brief though our alliance has been, trust is the only path to take now. You know, they're saying, look, You aren't going to be with all the people you know, and you're with people you don't know, turtles you don't know, but you have to realize you're all on the same side. You have to believe in that, and you have to trust in that. And he finishes by saying, if you know about trusting each other, if not yet in each other, then in your mission. And it shows a few of them getting ready to go on the subway. It shows the others showing up at that address that Eleven left for them. And it looks like Eleven is going into the subway. No, Eleven's going with them to the building. Why wouldn't Eleven? Yeah, she's looking for Eleven. Mike allowed it. I guess he didn't want to do it, but he well, not that he allowed it, but he didn't put up more of a fight. It's not that he can't tell Eleven what to do. So I'm sorry, I keep thinking Splinter's done, but he keeps talking. He says, evil like this, whether of another dimension or man's own creation, cannot be allowed to spread. And it shows them walking along the subway. It shows the other gang climbing up the side of a building on a ladder. He goes on and says, if it does, there is no corner it will not reach and no door it will not darken. This is really, you know, for the silliness that this is, it's really well written, except for that one thing where they didn't show the picture of the guy. But the dialogue is in some of the, just the wording is, I'm very impressed with. So they're helping Dustin get in, Max get over the lip of the building. Eleven's already there. And they're like, come on, there we go. Nice and quiet. If we're going to, you know, get the drop on Stockman, we need the element of surprise on our side. And Eleven said, too late. And they turn. And on the roof of the building, there's Stockman with a boatload of dudes behind him, all looking like they're holding some sort of like cattle prod or something. He says, Eleven, I'm so glad you received my message. I thought it was merely a shot in the dark, and yet here you are. Not alone, but I can manage. And he says, your papa has told me so much about you. I can't wait to see how much of it is true. And at that exact moment, all the guys charge at the Ninja Turtles and the kids, and they're tasing them and they're fighting them. And the turtles are fighting off. Eleven is using her powers to fight off. Where's Dustin? I don't even see. Oh, there's Dustin and Max. They're kind of like in the middle going like, oh my God, what's going on? And in the bottom right corner, it says to be continued. That is the end of this story, the end of issue one. But I do like that it shows that a preview for the next issue just shows a cover. I'm assuming the cover. And then we get some cool art of all the different versions, all the different variant covers that were made for this issue. Some really well-made art. Ah, what a fun story. I look forward to continuing it and seeing where it goes. But I do have one prediction, and that is that Eleven will get, will be honored with one of the Turtles' masks at the end. Raphael will say, you have earned this, you with great honor. You know, you're in an unofficial turtle. That's a guess. That's a guess from me. But that's it. I think I covered it. I think I quite enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it as well. I hope you come back when I cover issue two. I won't be, you know, taking months and months away again to get to issue two. I want to get through some of these comic books that I have, and also, you know, get started on some other ideas that I've mentioned and I really want to get working on soon. Now, next week, I know I just got here and now I'm saying, well, next week I'm out of town. Yes, next week I am going to be traveling. I've talked about this many times in the past. On Wednesday, I'm going to Florida to fly down there, get my mother-in-law, drive her back to Massachusetts. I feel like that's the really official beginning of real spring and almost summer. And then, so next week, yeah, then we get back. Then my niece, who loves Stranger Things, she's in the school play. She's going to be Fiona in the Shrek Jr. She got the lead. Very cool. I guess the main, one of the main leads. So I'm excited to see that. Then we have a wedding. Some friend of ours' son is getting married. That's where you get to a certain age where now your friends' kids are getting married. It's crazy. And then after that, like a week later, my wife has to have back surgery. Oh my goodness. So there is a lot going on in the real world. And you know what? You know what's more fun than the real world? The stranger world, the world of Hawkins. So there's going to be copious amounts of days where my wife will be recuperating and recovering, and she's going to do great. But it's going to give me time to sit back, read some things, talk about some things, and rewatch some things. So I look forward to bringing a little more life to this podcast in the coming months. And I appreciate everyone who has stuck by me, stuck by the show, and continue to find it, continue to listen to it. I really, really, really appreciate it. Now listen, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. The show, you can find, what is it, Stranger D Pod on, right? Isn't that what it's still called? I think I was going to rename it, but I don't think I did. It is still Stranger D Pod. It almost sounds like a name, like Kermit D Frog. Stranger D Pod on Twitter. Everywhere else, Geek Mentality, including Twitter. The Facebook page is Fans.Experts. The website is StrangerDangerPodcast.com. And Fans on Experts, we also have a YouTube channel, and there are a ton of things on there. Now, it's all audio, or 95% audio. There's some video. You might see my mug on there every so often. But most of the time, it's just audio versions of these podcasts. It's just another way that you can find the podcast, another way you can listen to the podcast. So I ask you, if you are on YouTube, please, please, please subscribe. Fans Not Experts. Trying to add things, trying to build that. Again, it's mostly audio stuff, but you'll find every podcast that I work on, every podcast from Fans Not Experts is up there. And every new episode automatically gets added to the YouTube channel. So if it might be an easier way for you to listen, and another way for you to listen, I would appreciate that oh so much. But other than that, all I have to say is thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And remember, you got to keep reading. Okay, reading's the best. In fact, some people say reading is fundamental. And you can't spell fundamental without F-U-N. Goodbye, stranger friends. Goodbye.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow, a reading rainbow,
a reading rainbow. Fans, not experts.